Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
The Hockey Show.
Centered, fired, they score!
On 98.5, the Sports Hub. It's streaming on the Sports Hub app.
Puck rimmed over to the far side. Provorov over the line left side. Feeds to Couturier along the near wall. The Bruins have it with three. Dished up the right side and back into the Flyer end. And this game is final. Tuukka Rask, on his 33rd birthday, will celebrate a 36-save shutout. It's his fifth of the year. The Boston Bruins are the first team in the National Hockey League to 100 points, and they snap the Flyers' 9-game winning streak with a 2-0 shutout here at the Wells Fargo Center.
Well, things were looking pretty positive not too long ago. The Bruins had just hit 100 points, coming off a very quality victory over the Philadelphia Flyers. Tuukka Rask getting the shutout, as you just heard. But now, a bit of a pause here for the NHL season and the sports world overall. We'll get into that. I'm Mike O'Brien here for your hockey show. Judd Surratt joining me in studio. The number to call is 617-779-0985. And Judd, you and I talked yesterday about how we kind of want to approach this show today. We feel, I think, that it should be a bit of a respite, a bit of a distraction from all the craziness out there. I mean, we'll get into it, of course, with all that's going on. But I guess I kind of want to ask you first, your reaction to all this. How did your week go? How was the news broken to you? Just take us through the last couple of days in your world, in the Bruins world.
I think like a lot of the people who travel on the Bruins charter, we were getting set to go and leave for Buffalo on Thursday. But I think he kind of had a sinking feeling that prior to that, I think it was the night before that the NBA decided that they were going to put a halt to their season until everything was safe. And I think it was just a matter of time that most of us thought that the National Hockey League would follow suit. You got word that night that the league was going to hold, a 1 p.m. Eastern conference call to decide what they were going to do. So, you know, but that said, you have no idea what's going to happen, so you have to go about your day normally. So that's what I tried to do. Started looking ahead to Toronto because the Bruins were going to play back-to-back on Saturday and at the same time get ready for Buffalo, get ready for the Bruins game that was going to take place on Friday, pack my stuff, and then just tried to slow play it. I think the Bruins charter originally was set to leave at around 2:30, which is about a half hour later than it normally would, because I think they had some meetings that were going to take place after practice. So I just sort of wanted to wait until you heard something either via the National Hockey League or something coming through on Twitter after that 1 o'clock conference call as to whether or not I'm going to jump in my car, grab my bag and go to Hanscom like we normally would for a flight. And then, you know, the word came down, the season was paused, unpacked my bag and, broke out Monopoly with the kids because it was, right around that time that schools, in and around here, or we live, just west of the city, that the schools were, you know, they were going to be out here for a period of time. They didn't say exactly how long. I think we had gotten a message from the schools originally that you would have Friday off and then the following week, and they didn't have anything beyond that. So broke out the Monopoly game. All of a sudden, the craft table was broken out. You know, I think my wife was pretty excited because she keeps a lot of that stuff for just in the event that I have two daughters, 11 and 13. You know, that they want to break out and do some stuff, whether it's, you know, paint, draw, create, whatever. And that was certainly broken out of the attic, spread across the dining room table. So between Monopoly and crafting, that's sort of what it was like here in the last 24 hours in our house, and obviously watching some movies and spending some time together. But this is clearly, you know, very bizarre. This is an unprecedented time, not only in the National Hockey League, but throughout the sporting world and, you know, around the globe. You know, and you have a chance to touch base with people both nationally, locally, just to sort of get a flavor of what they're doing and what they think is going to happen here in the next coming days and weeks.
Yeah, I'm surprised you went right to the Monopoly, Al. I mean, usually that's setting the table for a family fight for days.
Well, you know, we've obviously got a little extra time, so
we'll be able to work through it.
Once this pause is over, I think my girls are set to be real estate moguls.
Oh, they took you down?
It was game three, you know.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, the first two games, they were not happy when I started building some hotels, but, you know, hey, that's the game.
Veteran experience. It's maturity. They'll learn on the fly. Well, it's again, a weird time. This is unprecedented, as you said, and everyone is just kind of wondering and all speculating about how this is going down. It's almost like an Olympic break right in the middle of the season, but for a way longer time.
Well, it's even beyond that. I know that, you know, for the time frame, yes, probably, but there's further restrictions. I mean, the National Hockey League and the Players Association conjunction and said, listen, at least for this weekend, we want you to self-quarantine just out of safety. I think that there is a hope. I saw something from Donald Fehr, who runs the NHLPA, that they're hoping that maybe in a week to 10 days, there would be an opportunity to have the players come back to the practice facilities. So maybe in small groups they could get on the ice. But again, there are so many unknowns.
Right.
So, you know, during an Olympic break, if I'm a player, you know, I still have the opportunity of maybe going to that practice facility, of still trying to keep myself as ready as possible when the NHL season begins. This is uncharted territory here. So I think, you know, and very much like here in the last 48 to maybe 72 hours, I think things are changing in real time. And I think we're going to see these changes continue to progress that way as it affects the NHL and the people who are connected to it.
Yeah, I think one thing, if you're the NHL, that you can maybe look at as a positive, and, you know, where, you know, the NBA had to cancel their season, or at least postpone it because they had a positive test. They had Rudy Gobert come back, Donovan Mitchell as well. No one has tested in the NHL world, as far as we know, has shown symptoms or tested positive for the virus. And so if you get through this next 2 weeks or however long it is, since you haven't had anyone test positive yet, maybe you can get through a little bit faster than if you're in the NBA.
Well, we have so many unknowns there.
Exactly.
You know, beyond that, I'd also heard that, I don't know if it was Bill Daly or Donald Fehr, had mentioned that the league is not recommending that the players in the National Hockey League be tested at this point.
Yeah.
You know, that doesn't mean that a team couldn't test on its own. But right now there are 700 plus players in the National Hockey League. And you also have to remember everybody who's associated with that. But at least at this point, my understanding is that there has not been a recommendation to test those players to see if anybody has the coronavirus at this point. So everybody's being asked to be safe, be smart, and let's see what happens here in the next couple of weeks, you know, and see what transpires. I think there are so many things to think about. You just played the highlight from the last Bruins game that took place in Philadelphia, where they shut out the Flyers. At the time, the hottest team in the National Hockey League was going up against the best team in the National Hockey League, and it was the Bruins in large part because Rask was spectacular.
Unbelievable.
Now, the Bruins turned it on in the third period and definitely finished that game well to be able to lock down that 1-0 lead that they had at the end of 40 minutes. But, you know, this is a team that if they had won a couple of shootouts, we wouldn't even be talking about, if the National Hockey League were to be playing, we would not even be talking about a division fight between the Tampa Bay Lightning and the Bruins. After that victory, the Bruins made it an 8-point lead, but they were at, to this point, the best team in the National Hockey League. So what remains to be seen here down the stretch is when it is safe to return. Who gets into the playoffs? Do you play the remaining regular season games? What does the playoff format look like? How long does it go? Those are all those questions. I know you and I had a chance to talk about this a little bit yesterday, but if you had to transport yourself into the league office, whether it's Gary Bettman's crew over in New York or Colin Campbell and everybody in Toronto, what are those conversations like? Because what everybody seems to be talking about at the National Hockey League level is they want to have a playoff. You know, they want to be able to award the Stanley Cup. They want this as much as possible to have a sense of normalcy in the season. And then my understanding is that they want to have a full and complete regular season next year. But there are so many implications that are taking place, and they're changing on a daily basis.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to save this for later in the hour, but let's get into it a little bit now, because the playoffs, regular season, how this is all going to look after we get back from this break. And one thing I want to say, I believe that hockey will return. I don't think that this, I mean, again, we're speculating. I'm of the belief that I'm looking at this glass half full, that hockey will be back at some point. I don't see how you have a regular season if you go through this 4-6 week stretch of the NHL. You're going to be getting to the end of April pretty much, and the regular season was supposed to have ended about 3 weeks before if we were on schedule. So I'm not sure how you come back with teams that have a varying a number of games played so far. I'm not sure how you finish up that regular season before you get into the playoffs.
These are all questions that you have to somehow determine. What is the latest possible date that you can play for a Stanley Cup championship? Is it the middle of July? I saw a date earlier today. I don't know if it was Elliot Friedman that had written it from Sportsnet that said, listen, assuming you're going to come back and assuming if that's the case that the Olympics take place in Tokyo, that would be July 24th. So would you have to conclude prior to that? Okay, well, if that's the case, like a good producer, you know, you got to back time it. Okay, what can we get in and what at the same time does not compromise any of the integrity of the championship or the teams that get in? You know, I think the first thought is, when are you going to start it and what is it going to look like? Do you start it immediately? I know when it comes to the playoffs, so the Bruins at this point have played 70 games. They have 12 left. Now, there are a few teams that I want to say had played 68. Islanders.
Yeah, a couple have played 69. You know, I know Carolina is in that mix where they played 69.
Carolina played 68. The Islanders have played 68. Florida's played 69. The Rangers have played 70. So a lot of these conversations, you know, it's not just about seeding. It's about who gets in. You know, and then the other, if you want to really dive off into a tangent, you know, do you want to exclude, if you're just going based on points, are you excluding a big market team when maybe revenue at this point and driving some revenue, I'm talking about a team like the Rangers, could help you at least amplify some of that revenue? You have no idea, A, if, you know, how long they would go. But, you know, at this point, some of the ancillary things that are being talked about, and this is obviously so secondary to what's going on, is what is the salary cap going to look like? What is escrow going to look like for the players? These are all byproducts of what we're experiencing right now. So, you know, I think to your first topic, as far as, okay, what is it going to look like and who is going to get in? You know, I think that that's one of the fascinating conversations that's got to take place at the National Hockey League level. Do we do it based on points? Do we do it based on winning percentage? Do we do what's talked about in the past, a play-in or a round robin to determine who finally gets in there? We've seen, I know that's been bandied about in the National Hockey League.
And they're doing it in the Danish League right now.
Well, and recently, I don't follow March Madness as much as I have in the past, but, you know, didn't they institute a plan in order to get into the bracket?
First four, right?
Exactly. So those are some of the conversations that I think have to take place, and there will certainly be a ton of interest if that's the case. But again, all this is presupposing when it is safe, and hopefully that is sooner rather than later.
Yeah, all we can do right now is follow information as it comes, and it's coming rapidly, but there's just a sense of not knowing throughout the entire NHL and sports world. But we'll do our best to kind of work our way through the woods on this one. We're going to step aside. You're listening to The Hockey Show here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub Hockey Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's one of those things where it's kind of out of your control. So right now it's, listen to the advice that we're given and to the doctors also, and a lot of washing your hands and the basics that we all know when it's flu season. But obviously it's a different, there's a lot of unknown that goes with it. So try to be careful at the same time. You don't want to panic either. And obviously you want to, stay even keel. And that's it. See what happens, see what unfolds out of it going forward. For now, it's about it.
Yeah, it seems like it was so long ago that just this week was about washing your hands, keeping your distance, not going anywhere unnecessarily. Now it's, now it is a coronavirus crisis, as we heard during that last break, where the NBA, the NHL is on hiatus. And you can tell, obviously, a disappointment right now for the NHL fans, Bruins players, Bruins staff, because it seemed like they were in the middle of something special right now.
They were the best team in the league.
Yeah.
They had 100 points. I was just looking just at flat-out regulation wins. They had won 38. So the first tiebreaker in the National Hockey League after points was regulation wins. They had won 38 games, more than any team in the National Hockey League, of their 44. They had just recently started a surge in those overtime games. But just listen to Patrice Bergeron and thinking back to what happened this week prior to the pause in the National Hockey League, just how fast things were changing there. So Tuesday, we're in Philadelphia, and the league, and again, this was happening in real time, how the league was trying to adjust to some new media rules. You were going to have some distance between yourself and the players and the coach when you're doing the interview. So we're behind an 8-foot table. We're on the road. So it was a little bit different. For the home team, it was a little bit easier. They could set up a press conference scenario. For the road team, this was all new, where you had to be at a distance, still conducting the interview, sort of in press conference style. But fast forward. So let's say the NBA did not pause. The day after that game, we come back and the National Hockey League came out with rules, because they were going to, what you were allowed to do on Tuesday, you were not going to be allowed to do on Wednesday. They didn't want anybody putting on a headset. They didn't want any one-on-one interviews. I was working with our producers, Mark Capello and Howie Sylvester. Okay, we're not going to be able to do the coach's interview the way we had normally done. Okay, what are we going to do with that 6-minute span? And then a little bit later down the road, it came out, hey, you're not going to be doing anything for an indeterminate amount of time. But it was fascinating just how fast things were changing at that point. But Mike, we were talking about the playoffs prior to that. Who gets in? How does it work? And what's fair?
Someone's going to be disappointed no matter what.
They are. But I think, if I'm a team, so if you go straight out by points, then I'm if I'm a team like the Islanders, or if I'm a team like the Rangers, the Islanders are a perfect example, because they have two games in hand on the Blue Jackets. So they have 80 points. The Blue Jackets and the Hurricanes both have 81. Now the Hurricanes have played the same number of games. The Blue Jackets have played 70. So if that's just in the East, I'm thinking to myself, okay, I'm getting the short end of the stick. If you go based on winning percentage or points percentage, who's going to get shafted there is the next thing.
Columbus.
Well, the Islanders also get shafted. Let's take it one step further. What if I'm a team that has won a ton of regulation? I have a ton of regulation wins. The first primary tiebreaker. I have flat-out straight regulation wins. The Rangers have 31 regulation wins. To give you an example in the Eastern Conference. The teams, like Columbus has won 35 games or 25 games in regulation. The Rangers have won six more. They have played the same number of games. So how are you going to keep them out of the playoffs? You know, and we can look through these scenarios in the Western Conference too. There's some seeding, obviously. It's not necessarily as close in certain spots. For some, it certainly is. But I think if I'm a team, you know, if I'm the governor of another team, like let's say, you know, I'm Jeff Gorton, the general manager of the New York Rangers, or I'm John Davidson, the president of the team. I've got to be campaigning to the league once they restart, if they restart. You got to give me a shot to get into the playoffs. You have to give me a shot. And the question is, how do you do that?
That's above my pay grade. I don't know how you do that. I don't know how you give Columbus a shot, because we can see at the schedule who's next up. But if they're playing your Buffalo, New Jersey, that has no incentive to make the playoffs, they're out of it. How are you going to say, hey, Devils, get up for this one so you see if you can see if Columbus can make the playoffs or not.
All right, let's continue to speculate then, you know, because that's what we're essentially doing. We have no idea what's going to happen, okay? You know, it sounds like the league is targeting. Let's say they follow the NBA's lead. So the NBA said, basically, we're going to be shut down for a month. All right, so let's fast forward to the middle of April. That would be around the time when the first round of the playoffs would begin. So if you just ended the regular season and started the playoffs right there, I don't know if you could necessarily do that. You would need a little lead time in order to be able to get ready. Just looking back after some of the lockout seasons, if you want to go back to 2012-13, you know, there's been a few lockouts in the NHL, so you know, you can actually go back and look and see what's happened in the past. So if you go back to some of those dates, I think the last two lockouts, they have needed anywhere from 9 to 10 days for the players and the teams to ramp it up and get themselves ready for the playoffs. But can you push back your playoffs just a little bit? You know, the other thing is you got building availability that you have to figure out. I don't know if it's accurate. I looked at the other day at TD Garden's calendar, the dates that I saw taken at last check, I want to say June was wide open. I'll try and find those dates, but you know, it sounded like that there were some dates available. I think you've got some other stuff a little bit later. You know, that may be an issue for
you. And plus you need to consider the availability for 29 other arenas. But let's head to the phones right now. Maria, like the rest of us, already misses the season, wants to know when the playoffs is going to restart and what the structure will look like. Maria, thanks for joining us on the Hawks Show. How are you doing today?
I'm good. Thank you.
What do you got?
Here's what I got. So, Judge, you touched upon this in terms of what the structure was going to look like, and it may still be too early, but a couple of questions I have is, if and when those conversations start to happen in earnest, will they also include input from the Players Association? Because I'd like to think that maybe, you know, the players themselves might want to have some say about what the remainder of the season looks like and playoff structure. And do you envision maybe any scenario where with these teams that are all so tightly interlocked between, you know, an actual playoff position and a wild card position, could there potentially be some type of like perhaps a mini tournament or play-in games where these teams go head to head to make a determination about who gets in? And then just a quick comment, reaching out to, and I know they probably don't listen, but NHL owners, please do the right thing and help these arena staff people who help you be successful throughout the course of the season. Do the right thing and help them out. Thanks for the time, guys.
Thanks, Maria. I guess I'll go one and two first here. First, I guarantee you there's going to be a conversation between the league and the Players Association how this is going to come down. I mean, ultimately, I think the league is going to have greater power in deciding exactly how it's going to happen. But I think they are working right now in conjunction with the Players Association to see how that works. As far as what happens for some of these teams that are right on the cusp, and you've got some of these bubble teams, when they restart, assuming it's at a time frame that makes sense, I could definitely foresee some sort of a play-in. So at least, at the very least, you could tell a team that's on the bubble, you had a shot. You may not like it, but you had a shot to be able to get in. What that scenario looks like, that's part of our conversation here today. That's the conversation that's going on right now in Manhattan. What is that going to look like if they come back? What type of a playoff scenario? So I do think that that is a possibility. But just to go back, because we were talking briefly about building dates. So assuming the calendar that I saw from TD Garden is still accurate, looking through May, only the 15th was taken. There was nothing on the calendar in June, July 10th, 11th, 16th, 17th, 18th, and 28th, 23rd and 28th, I think, were taken on the calendar in July. So you have some availability here at TD Garden to be able to play playoff games. That's one rink. and we're talking about, potentially, because now we're talking about more than 16 teams that could vie for the Stanley Cup. Stranger things have happened in the National Hockey League. All it takes is a goaltender to get hot, and we have unprecedented circumstances. The other thing to think about, Mike, and I was thinking about this. So for the Bruins, Torrey Krug and Brandon Carlo were hurt.
This is going to be one of my questions.
Okay. Well, now they have a chance to heal up, and hopefully, if the league restarts, they're able to come back on time. How does this impact Kevin Miller? We're talking about all sorts of crazy scenarios, but I would think that having more time gives you a greater chance or a possibility that maybe he could return. It's possible.
Absolutely.
It's certainly possible, but let's also look just in the Eastern Conference. Steven Stamkos out of the lineup. Victor Hedman out of the lineup. Those guys, they could easily be back.
Flyers lost JVR not too long ago.
James Van Riemsdyk was out with a busted finger. Let's take the Columbus Blue Jackets, which, let's say if the playoffs began today, that could be your opening round matchup potentially. Seth Jones had a procedure done on his ankle. He could be back for the playoffs. That is a difference maker for the Columbus Blue Jackets, and they have been hit with an array of injuries. So if the league restarts, and when it restarts, that could be a fascinating factor to look at, because now the playing field is a little bit more level, because one of the things we talk about heading into the playoffs is health. And everybody's health could be impacted by this.
Everyone's going to be full roster and ready to go. You would have to assume. Let's get one call here before we head to the break. Matt is in the truck. Wants to know about next year's schedule. How you doing, sir?
I'm not too bad. I just got a simple question, Matt. Well, not too simple, but I'm talking about the ramifications for next year's schedule. How's that going to play?
My understanding is right now that next year's schedule will not be impacted. That said, who knows how long this is going to go on. But my understanding is from the commissioner of the National Hockey League that he said next year will be a full and complete regular season. But that said, things are changing in real time, and anything is possible, but that is what they're planning for.
Yeah, Bill Daly echoed those sentiments in a conversation with Pierre LeBrun that was on The Athletic. Okay. So the plan is for a full schedule next year, no matter what, and that's even if they play till July, it seems. But again, everything's changing by the minute, by the hour. That's what we say right now. We'll see how it goes as we go through the rest of this time and weeks and this pause for the NHL. But right now, we're going to step aside. When we return, Bill Jaffe will join us on the Hockey Show here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Miss something?
This is a black and gold freight train.
Catch the Hockey Show podcast at 98.5thesportshub.com and the Sports Hub app.
Mike O'Brien and Judd Surratt joining you as we are in the midst of our first hour of the Hockey Show, talking NHL hiatus, coronavirus, speculation on how things will transpire and go down once this pauses will unpause, what the playoffs will look like, how this affects the Bruins, all that and much more. But right now, joining us, you can see him on the NHL Network, also see him and hear him on Bruins broadcasts, and you can also hear him on 98.5 The Sports Hub. But right now, he joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline, Billy Jaffe. How are you doing today, sir?
Hey, guys. Good morning. I'm doing well. How about you guys?
We're doing okay. This is obviously an unprecedented time here in the sports landscape and specifically NHL. How has your week gone down and how has, I guess, your reaction to the news and the hiatus and all that's happening in the NHL at this current time?
Oh, boy. How's my week gone down? Complete, you want to talk about lack of control of anything? That's pretty much, you know, dangling from the rope. That's how it felt to me. I wouldn't say I'm a control freak, but I sure like knowing what's going on, so it hasn't always been pleasurable. On the other hand, I've just tried to take a bunch of deep yoga breaths and just decide what's going on. It sucks. Listen, I mean, I'm at a loss for what it's doing to, you know, our people and anybody who's either impacted with illness or financially. I'm getting my ass kicked. It's the truth in that regard. You know, I said this on Toucher and Rich the other day. I only make my money when games are going and shows are happening and I show up. So I have nothing coming in, and that's, you know what? Okay, I'm gonna figure it out. But how's my week gone? It's been wonderful because my family is good, and so far all the people I know are good. When I say wonderful, I mean I'm trying to find the positives, but otherwise it sucked. I think everybody else would say similar things.
Billy, at this point, you know, because I know you and I have a chance to talk with a lot of people around the league. What are you hearing?
You know what, Judd? I'm hearing a lot of hot air. That's all it is, bud, right now. It's all speculation. I caught you guys a little bit earlier and having my morning coffee with my wonderful, beautiful wife, Victoria, which we're going to have a lot more of those than we ever did before this time of year. I'm hearing that it's all speculation, bud. It's all we want to come back. We hope to come back. We will, you know, if we come back, we will find a way to crown a cup champion. But nobody knows, bud. Nobody knows. Nobody knows what it's going to be. You know, this is akin to, don't jump up. This is akin to the lockout when we don't know what's going to end. Yet it's completely different, right? We know that this is a completely different scenario. But, you know, what the league is just trying to, what they're really trying to mandate right here, or at least I think make or want to happen, Judd, is that if they come back, that there is no stoppage again. And how the hell can they control that? That's the biggest issue. They do not want to come back and then, God forbid, have to shut it down again. That's the biggest, that's the thing that I keep hearing all the time. Otherwise, it's all speculation about who would be in, how would be in, how would we make it happen, when could we finish by, all that stuff. And there's just, everybody right now for a few days has got something to talk about. And then after that, there's not going to be anything to talk about because we just don't know until this thing ends.
All right, let's play the scenario out that at some point they determine it's safe for everybody mm-hmm. to be able to come back and play games, to attend NHL games, to go back to hopefully leading a regular life.
Mm-hmm.
Put yourself in the league office. What's fair? How do they make their way through a Stanley Cup championship season, figure out, you know, who's in the tournament, and still maintain as much integrity as possible, and at the same time, you're not going to please everybody, but get the best possible result for all the teams that you're involved.
The first part of that answer is, when does that happen? You don't have to give me an answer. Meaning, when is that? Mean, you know, if it's at the last possible, if it's earlier than later, let's say, okay, Judd, if it's earlier, then more teams will be involved in either a play down or a play in. Or let's say we can determine that every team will play 74 games, 75 games, whatever it is, right? We'll get to that a certain number. The later it goes, then it's going to be just a play-in scenario. That's what it would have to be, in my opinion. And where do you cut the line off at a play-in scenario? Well, it depends on, do you want to include certain teams, as you mentioned a bit ago, like the New York Rangers. I don't know, man. I don't know how much more that adds to it or not right now. I think everybody's either going to be really, really excited and watch everything, and everybody's going to make money, meaning it's going to start churning right away no matter who's in. Do the Rangers make you that much more money? They only, you know, we're talking ticket sales and some TV. I don't know. I don't know how much more they make. So the question is, do you have to include them or not, that type of team?
All right. Let's dive into some detail here. So let's say you do play a play-in. How long is it?
Well, it's...
Is it a one winner take all, like the wild card game in Major League Baseball?
No,
the American League where it was a best of three, and have played three and three to get in.
Yeah. Are you doing a play-in that, again, we're talking details here, and we just don't have the answer. We're talking a play-in that starts, that's the first games that you have, or does every team get, again, up to three or four games, depending on where they are in the standings when work stopped? You know, is everybody going to get a few games, and then you're going to have a play? If it's a few games and a play-in, I would probably say it's a one-game play-in. If there's no games played, and we're just taking, I'm throwing out a random number here, two play-ins per side, so what is that then? It's 20 teams. Maybe it's a best of three. Maybe it's total goals. I can't tell you I'm thrilled with that. I didn't like it at the college level.
I don't like that idea.
But, you know, maybe it's a mini series where you go two games and then if overtime needs, I don't know. I don't know. But maybe then it's a best of three. But it's all predicated on how much you actually can get in. That's what it comes down to. So my guess is in a perfect world, which we are in anything but right now, in a perfect scenario, we get back soon enough to where each team can play at least a certain amount of games to reach a certain threshold. I'll use 76 as that game total. Then based off that, you then go into your regular 8-team per conference playoff. That to me is perfect. And if not, then you do 75 or 76 games. You go into a short play-in series, and then you go to a modified playoff where maybe the first round instead of best of seven is a best of five. Maybe you go best of five, best of five, best of seven, best of seven. So you got to finish. I mean, you can't be finishing in August. You can't, I don't think. That's my take.
It doesn't sound like they could stretch it out that far. I mean, some of the dates, you know, listen, you hear them bandied about, and I'm sure you've heard the same, is somewhere in July. I don't know if it was who exactly had mentioned it, whether it was Elliot Friedman or Pierre LeBrun, that the teams have been asked to supply building mm-hmm. availability through July, mm-hmm. But not into August, you know, which leads you to believe, you know, okay, you know, we're sort of getting an idea of when the cutoff date would be once they pronounce it's safe to play again. So I think that we have that idea. And then assuming you play sometime into July, you'd have August off, and then September would ramp up, and then we'd begin again.
Yeah, well, players would... I wonder if the players would push back on starting that early. I don't know. Maybe they would want to, given how much of a layoff that, you know, we've had now. I don't know. Maybe they would have more preseason games just to get everybody into it again, or would they have less? Would they just say, you know what, we're dropping to two or three preseason games and that's it? And that, you know, the owners might have a question about that, considering that that's part of their, you know, their ability to profit thing. I you know what, we are just in that that awful world of I go back to the first comment, hanging by on the rope and not knowing when you're going to come down off of it. It's a weird feeling right now.
The only things we know right now, Billy, is that we don't know anything, and obviously it's not an ideal situation for the NHL. But as if you talk to people in and around the sport of hockey, kind of what's been the tenor been? Has it been glass half full, glass half empty, somewhere in between?
People I've spoken with has been, this has to, you know, had to happen, that it's the right thing, especially when you start seeing players become in other sports, not just basketball. Obviously, basketball is the one that we see the most. I mean, it's the same season and we're familiar with it, but there's players in European soccer, you know, you're starting to see outcome get infected. And so it that even resonates more with the players because they're like, yeah, I mean, we're the ones that are contacted out there. By the way, big shout out to Judd and my buddy John Forslund. I mean, play-by-play voice of the Carolina Hurricanes. Oh, my gosh. I texted with him yesterday for a couple of minutes or so. He stayed in the same room that that Utah Jazz player was in the day before in Detroit, Michigan. And so now he has been in – he's in full quarantine at his house, you know, for another 12 – I think it's 12 days or 10 days. He got home. He was isolated on the plane along with another staffer. And it wasn't that he was around this guy and could have been around this guy. It was he was in the same room as this guy at the hotel in Detroit. And so he's now literally isolated in his basement, door shut, living down there. And his wife is delivering stuff to his door. And he's a phenomenal guy. And, you know, it hits home. So I'm sorry, tangent right there. It's about, what is it? Players or people that I've spoken with all said, I mean, how can we not do this when everybody else is? And we understand that, you know, players understand that they're the ones that are out there. And by the way, you know, every time that I played hockey and there was physical contact and if I was wearing a shield, you could see the the sweat on the shield. So what do you see the players all coming to the bench wiping, you know, their sweat and other people's sweat off their shields. It's not like that there isn't this contact and there isn't transmission happening, you know what I mean, when things happen. So they understand the actual physical part of it, too.
Well, I think it obviously, you know, some of this has been likened to a flu. And it, again, this I don't want to create these are not apples to apples. But, you know, we've certainly seen during the course of every NHL season when a flu will go through a team, they try and do their best to limit that amount. Mm-hmm. Either it's, hey, telling that player, you know, to stay home. How they utilize water bottles. So obviously, you know, it's not as though this is completely foreign, you know, to a lot of teams, you know, in order to prevent things. But, you know, since you were talking about the Players Association and some of these ancillary consequences that take place, I just started to think, if we move right to the playoffs, are there players that you can think of on some non-playoff teams that played their last game either in that market or their last game, period? Because there's a couple guys that come to my mind.
Well, Joe Thornton.
That was the first.
Yeah. Geez. This is like a pop quiz. And I don't have my list in front of me. I've got to think about it. There's, you know, players on – I got to think of teams that are, you know, older – that are at the end of their contract. I was trying to think of Ottawa or Detroit. Does Detroit have anybody? I mean, I don't remember Jimmy Howard's contract status.
Minnesota doesn't make it, does Mikko Koivu, is he done?
Yeah, Mikko Koivu probably, yeah, I would think so. I mean, he hasn't really had what you would call a resounding year, but hasn't been, you know, last few games were better, but I think that would be one. Trying to go through the Rolodex and the head of players that are old. You know, does LA have anybody that's at the end of their deal? No, Jeff Carter's not at the end of his deal. He's got another year or two left.
No, but I started thinking about guys like David Backes.
Yeah, well, I mean, he has 1 year left on his contract. Does he want to come back? Who knows? This hiatus for certain players, too, for older players, might actually allow them to play next year. Their body isn't worn down. Maybe it's too hard to rev up again. What about Zdeno Chara? I mean, he's still playing 20 plus minutes a night. You know, there could be a.
Well, I
a
see.
Guy there.
No, it's certainly fair to assume because you know, obviously, there are, you know, we're in a time of complete unknowns. So let's say the season gets squashed. You know, and for some reason, I'm thinking optimistically that that's not going to happen. But let's say it does. You know, the Bruins certainly have some guys on some expiring contracts.
Halak's contracts expire. Yarrow's contract's
Krug.
Up this year. Yeah, well, Krug, yeah, I mean, he's going to keep playing, but could it be somewhere else? Sure.
Right.
You know, we knew that even without this situation. But, yeah, you know, there's no doubt. I mean, it's a valid question. I keep trying to – I mean – I'm just not being able to think of players who are older. Your Backes one was, you know, very appropriate, even though he has a year left, given his situation, too. There's definitely a ton of players.
Justin Williams, is he coming back for is he
yeah,
back
would he want
again?
To come back again? You know, there's a good question.
Where does Taylor Hall end up?
I don't know. For his sake, I'm sure he hopes on a playoff team. Boy, that didn't work out for him, and I didn't think it would in Arizona. he just doesn't drive it for me when it's all said and done. Nice player, don't get me wrong. Fantastic player, but I don't know. He doesn't drive the bus for me, you know. We've talked about it on this show before, but that's neither here nor there. I don't know. It feels odd almost talking about this right now, considering what's going on. But I guess I understand, Jed, why we have to, or why it's actually okay to as well. But there's a lot of players that I'm sure, you know, does Ron Hainsey, you know, I think about him. He signed in Ottawa. I don't know his deal. You know, here's a guy.
He's at the end of his deal. I don't want to say he's 38 or 39.
Well, there's a guy that would probably be done. So here's the other thing. Are there going to be certain players that they're going to be like, I don't know if I want to come back. I don't know. I mean, they all want to play. I'm talking older players too. Are they like, you know what? Just too much, you know, too much stuff going on. I've had a great career. Do I need to? I don't know.
That could be, you know, and then the other thing to think about is certainly this is going to have a financial impact on what the salary cap is going to look like next
year.
And does that change the way certain unrestricted free agents think about departing? You know, and does it give other teams a little bit more leverage that maybe they didn't think they were going to have?
Yes, the salary cap issue, you know, there is a trigger that I read about that the league could get, even though it drops too much, that the league could hold it at a certain point too. So maybe like the same as this year, which would allow it for not to impact the free agent and market in general as much. It may. It's a fair question, Judd. I don't have the answer to that. We're playing the hypotheticals here. You know, certain players are going to have to accept certain deals that they thought that they would have maybe thought they would have got before, and now they're not going to get it. So yeah, it will change. There's no question it will change the landscape for certain players, you know, thinking about it more. There's no question that it will.
Well, a lot of unknowns out there, Billy. We all just have to wait and see when this all wraps up and how things will look for the end of the regular season and the playoffs.
This feels like one of the worst interviews I've ever given because I have no answers, and I feel like such a, you know, a lame ass. You know, but it's just the reality of where we are. You know, I like having information. I like knowing what's going on. And again, I use the just hanging right now, and that's all it feels like. So. Sorry if it didn't add anything.
Well, you're not alone, but you provided us more information than we had before. So for that, we are thankful.
Well, pleasure to be on with you guys. I am hoping to do the podcast that I've been doing for the full season. Continue to do it on The Athletic. I think we're going to do it at least one day. I'm hoping to do it two or three days a week just to talk to other people. And there's a lot of interviews to do, a lot of stories to tell still. There's nothing wrong with going into the history of Bruins hockey and other players and having fun stuff doing it. So if people out there are looking for more hockey stuff, keep an ear to the podcast on the Athletic website that we do. I hope that we can do it regularly at least 2 days a week.
Sounds good. Well, thanks for your time, Billy. Stay safe, and hopefully we'll have some hockey sooner rather than later.
Yeah, you guys got it. Take care, guys.
See you, Billy.
That was Billy Jaffe here on our Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. We're going to step aside when we return. Hour two of the Hockey Show will be joined by Andrew Raycroft here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
This is a black and gold freight train. Freight train. Freight train.
All things Bruins and the NHL. It's the Hockey Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Well, these days, it's just one of those things that you almost have to get 100 points to make the playoffs. You know, I mean, the league's tighter than ever, and you know, we're just trying to kind of get a head start early in the season and kind of keep that momentum going whole year, and I think we've pretty much accomplished that this year and finished strong, going to the playoffs.
When those playoffs will be, that is still very much up in the air. Mike O'Brien and Joe Girard here for hour number two of the Hockey Show. We're joined right now on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline by Boston Bruins studio analyst Alan Nesson, Andrew Raycroft. And Andrew, I mean, what a week it's been. We've been asking ourselves and everyone who's been joining us on the air today, how's your week gone? How have you approached all that has transpired over the last couple of days?
Morning, guys. It's been a roller coaster of emotions and trying to get information is obviously the most difficult part, and what to to really make of all this. I feel better today than I did 3 days ago, when it felt like everything was crashing in. I feel like we're doing the right thing. Everything we're reading, everything I'm reading, is we got to get ahead of this and try and corral it. And the sooner we corral this, then the better we're all going to be. So it seems like everyone's getting on that page quite quickly, and feels like we're getting to the point where hopefully we can manage this in the coming months.
All right, Razor, question for you. So right now the teams, or the league, has told the players, at least for the time being, self-quarantine, stay in at least for the weekend. Maybe in 7 to 10 days you can start to come back to the training facilities and maybe jump on the ice. But as a player, what are you trying to do, assuming that the team is going to, that the league is going to restart? How are you trying to keep yourself ready? What are you doing?
Most guys, I'm sure, have enough equipment in the house to get a workout in, even if it's a light yoga session, or, you know, you're going out for runs and getting outside. I mean, I'm going to be outside with my kids all day running around and just trying to, you know, have that social distance. But we all need to burn energy too. So I'm sure the guys have gotten a lot of advice on this, and, you know, being pro athletes, you get a lot of resources in times like this. So I'm sure they know exactly what's expected of them and what the plan is here for the next couple of weeks. But I know the main thing is to get these guys quarantined, and so we can all look at this in 2 weeks and all these guys get tested. If, you know, if there's no sickness, if everyone's good, then we can, you know, move forward with different ideas.
All right, Razor, though, take me back to 03-04. If this had happened when you were 23, the year that you won the Calder Trophy, what do you think it would have been like for you to experience this at that time, at that age?
It's certainly frustrating. I mean, I went through a lockout, you know, 3 months after I won that Rookie of the Year. So it's quite similar in that way, where it was extremely frustrating. You feel like you just get off the ground and you actually get an opportunity and everything shuts down around you. And during that lockout, there was a lot of stops and starts and not knowing what the end game was. And in hindsight, obviously, it was a full season. However, at the time, we didn't know if we'd get going right away or a couple weeks or Christmas time. And that's what's going to be similar to this situation, is the stop and go. And you look at the models and you look at what we're kind of dealing with here, is we're just beginning this. And, you know, school's being canceled till the end of April. And, you know, so it could be a while. And if they're still trying to get the season going, there's going to be stops and starts here along the way.
How long as a player would you need in order to feel like, okay, I'm ready to restart? How much of a lead time would you need?
The benefit of already playing the 70 games the guys have, that ramp up won't be quite the same as what it was in 2012 in that lockout, where you had all summer off, no one had played at all. And then you're trying to get going come February, where you need those 9-10 days. I would imagine if they have an opportunity, guys are going to be more than willing to get going right away, whether it's 2 or 3 days, a couple 2-a-day sessions, just because of what we're dealing with and the seriousness of this, the virus, the pandemic, along with the seriousness of trying to find a way to get the season done. It's basically any means necessary for the guys, and I believe they'll all understand that. And if it takes 2 days to get ready, then that's what it is.
As we try and speculate about the playoffs or the end of the regular season, how this all is going to look like once this hiatus hopefully comes to an end sooner rather than later, you know, from your perspective as a player, what do you think would be the most fair way to try and go about the playoffs?
It's such a good, I heard you guys talking earlier, it's wild, right? Someone's going to get screwed. I lost on a shootout on a Sunday afternoon after playing 82 games, and I felt like I got screwed too. So it, you know, everyone always feels that way. I think there's the two ways I see it. One is if it's just stops and we start the playoffs, it has to go percentage of points. You can't have teams getting in with playing two more games than someone else. So it has to go the points percentage. The other option is, do those teams that are 7, 8, 9, 10, do those teams start up like they do in Sweden, like they do in Finland, where 7 plays 10, 8 plays 9, and they play a best 2 out of 3. And those teams start up day 2 of coming back. You know, they don't get any playoff time. They don't get any layoff time. They're just jumping right into those games. And the two teams that win take the 7, 8 seed, and then we move on with the playoffs. So those are the two scenarios. If there's not going to be any runway, then it's got to be point percentage. If there is a little bit of runway, let's maybe look into 7, 8, 9, 10, and that allows that feeling of being 1 point out but not getting a chance to get in go away.
Yeah, at some point I think you've got to be able to say, you know, to all the teams, hey, you had your shot. You know, you may not have liked the results, but you had an opportunity.
Yeah, but yes, certainly the problem is that this is such a wild situation that the NHL can easily say, listen, you had 70 games to have your chance. You've already had 68 games of having your chance, and this is where we're at, and this is how we need to move forward. So, you know, that's the one thing that I can see happening, not getting a chance because, hey, listen, we need to get this thing going, and we don't have time to have a three-game plan for you guys. And I'm sorry, but this is the way it is.
Let's go towards the prospective end of the season. Let's say this thing goes all the way to end of July. I know the NHL has been asking teams about arena availability through the end of July, but not into August. Let's say this finishes up middle of July, but the NHL sounds like it still wants to play a full season for 2020-2021. How do you think the players are going to feel about kind of that short summer break heading into the next season, depending on when this current one finishes up?
There will be some lawyers speak, and the lawyers will get involved and sort that out, I would imagine. And me, you know, putting my player's hat on, I would much rather try and find a getaway season in, even if it takes us all the way to August and I get 2 weeks off and then we start the next season, to get my escrow, to get player revenue up, to have a Stanley Cup champion, to have all of those things, have a real season. Those would be more important than having an extra few weeks in the summer, in my opinion, the way I look at it. Now, obviously, again, there's a lot of logistics involved. The one positive thing, you talked about arena availability, we're going to see a lot of these concerts that are filling those spaces in July and August get canceled because of those logistics, those concert logistics to go on a world tour. That they need to make that decision now, and it doesn't feel like a great time to go on a world tour. We've seen a lot of concerts be canceled already. So those dates open up, and you look at, you know, there's a great possibility, no matter what this looks like, these playoffs are going to get played with no people in the stands. And can we quarantine the players for a two-month period and just play the games and everybody at home watching in May and June if this continues? That's you know, is that another option? I'm not sure, but again, there's a lot of things. But back to your question, I think guys would play all summer if it meant getting people to watch a Stanley Cup final.
Razor, the other thing that I was thinking about, just for some players, they need structure. I don't know if you were like that as a player. But
I still am, Judd.
Huh?
I still am.
But for some players,
I don't have it.
They struggle not having an itinerary or a structure. I'm just curious, you know, fine. You know, let's say you try and keep yourself physically ready to go, but then what are you doing, you know, for the remaining, you know, time that you have on your hands?
No question. They've gone from 100 miles an hour to zero, a dead stop, cold turkey. And again, there's so many young guys in the league that have never dealt with this, never had a lockout to deal with. So it's definitely a different feeling for those guys waking up today. Yesterday was like a day off. Today, they're like the rest of us who had full schedules today. You know, I had three hockey games to do and a BC game today. Now I'm like, well, all right, what am I going to do? And I'm sure there's a feeling across the country with that. And NHL players are certainly more susceptible to that because of the fact they were just going 100 miles an hour 4 days ago.
But I'm thinking, Andrew, just go back on the teams that you played with, either, you know, here in Boston, Toronto, Colorado, Vancouver, Dallas. Were there guys that you knew that just simply could not function without an itinerary?
No question. I mean, dozens of guys, at least a dozen guys on each team. And especially if you don't have kids to really, you know, like if you don't have it, you know, what are you going to do all day? And on top of that, you're kind of quarantined. I would imagine, you know, these guys aren't going to the movies. These guys aren't going to the malls. So certainly there are 700 guys in the NHL, let's say 500 of them are really used to that itinerary and need someone to tell them what to do because they're not rocket scientists.
No, I remember, you know, I'm sure you've seen these scenarios in the past. Mike has probably seen it because he spent some time in the minors. But I remember talking to a veteran player who is now a coach in the National Hockey League when he was in the minors, and he said, we were at the airport. He said, if we all walked to the wrong gate or just walked into a post, the entire team would follow us.
No question. Walk right off the cliff, right? No question. No question. So hopefully there isn't a couple leaders on each of these NHL teams walking guys into the bars these days and walking them into the yoga studios or wherever it else is. You know, it's a different time, but certainly 30 years ago, it would have been quite the scene here with the days off like this.
So with the time remaining until whenever this hiatus ends, what are you going to be doing with yourself? You got the DVR lined up? You got the binge watch list lined up?
It certainly is lined right up. We had movie night last night, and I can't imagine doing 15 more of these in a row, but that's what it might look like. So, yeah, it's certainly a work in progress. And again, it's going to be a while, and we are, it's a new norm right now. And let's just hope. Again, I'm so hopeful that the NHL, the NBA can find a way to get back on TV. And I think that's, you know, if we can just, you know, even if we have to quarantine these guys like the Russian army used to, and have them, the traveling circus on their own as it, with combined teams, if we can find a way to do that, I think it would be super helpful to all of us to get through these days. But again, there's bigger things we all need to worry about, and hopefully we get this and we'll get through it.
Razor, you mentioned you were obviously impacted by the lockout that took place in 2004-05. Were you also impacted by the lockout in the shortened season in 2012-13?
A little bit, in the fact that I had opportunities. I went to Europe that year. I had opportunities to stay here. I was going to, you know, a couple opportunities to be the third goalie in a few different organizations, and decided that I didn't necessarily know what the landscape was going to be in the NHL, whether they were going to play at all that season. And if being the third guy, there was no chance of getting called up. And I was at the end of my career where I only had a year, 2 years left where I wanted to have some experiences as well. And going to Europe was a better opportunity because of the fact that I knew there was going to be at least a half a season lockout, if not more. And that just wasn't going to be ideal for my family at that time. So it didn't, you know, I wasn't in the NHL. If I had been given an NHL contract, I certainly would have signed it, but it did make me not sign in the AHL that season just because of the uncertainty.
So in 2012-13, you end up playing in Milan in Italy, and I talked earlier in the season with head coach Bruce Cassidy because he ended up playing a couple of seasons in Italy, and he had some hilarious stories. You've got to have a few.
Oh, man, where do we start? And yes, the word domani is tomorrow in Italy, and that's basically what I heard for 10 months. Everything I needed, everything I wanted was domani. Everything was domani. So I know my Italian word, that is the one I know, domani. So yeah, where's my house running? Yeah, domani. Is the car ready? Domani. So but the best story I have, and this is priceless, is my wife came over and she was pregnant, and we went to the hospital the first couple days when she got there. I was already there for a month, and I have my little guy who's 4 years old at the time running around, and I don't go in the doctors because we have a guy, like the team guy is the translator, because the Italian doctor didn't speak English. So we're going through it. They come out of the appointment, and the Italian guy, this big Italian guy who's the team services, picked me up at the airport, comes running out saying, Due. And my wife looks like a ghost. And it turns out that we just found out that we're having twins. And the first guy who knew this was this Italian team service guy. He's crying. He's sweating. He's so excited. It's like his kids when he comes running out. And my wife and I are looking at each other like, what are we getting ourselves into? So that was the beginning of Italy. But yeah, it was a wild place, a lot of fun. But certainly the stories of having beers right after the games with the other fans, and just it's a wild scene, a lot of fun.
Well, Andrew Razor, we thank you for the time. Stay safe, stay sane, and hopefully we'll be talking about some real hockey sooner rather than later.
Yeah, let's hope. You guys too. Stay sane.
All right. Thanks, Razor.
Thanks, Razor. That was Andrew Raycroft joining us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. We're going to step aside, and we'll be back as we carry on with the hockey show here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Shoots and left, flashed up the glove, take it away.
It's the hockey show.
Centered, fired, they score.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming on the Sports Hub app.
Crosses the blue line, clears out in front, Locke gets that puck. He passes over the right side, Richard sweeps in fast. He shoots, he scores.
Back here during hour two of the hockey show on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Mike O'Brien in studio alongside Judd Surratt as we're taking you all the way up to 11 o'clock, talking coronavirus, talking NHL hiatus, talking about what the playoffs might look like if and when they come back, what the next regular season is going to look like. So much speculation, so much too that we don't know about. But here's one. I just want to ask a fun question because we've been, I think, far too serious at times during this hockey show, and perhaps rightfully so. We have some time, hopefully, until the playoffs come back, hopefully. You have some time waiting for hockey to return as well. If you had to binge watch one playoff series or a season of the post Stanley Cup playoffs, or maybe it's a 1980 gold medal game, maybe it's the Canada, you know, the Canada-Russia series, if there is any playoff hockey or momentous hockey like that that stands out in your mind, that you would just, you know, flip on YouTube and take it in a couple times to pass the time during this hiatus, what would it be?
I don't know if there's anything in particular, but anytime the NHL Network or any of these networks are throwing on old games, throwback games, I know Nesson is going to do that. I think that they were going to try and broadcast some Bruins wins from this upcoming season, but any of those games from a different era, I was at... So Wednesday night, before the NHL had officially announced the pause, I was at the Ace Bailey charity function, actually with Andrew Raycroft and a number of different people. But Mike Milbury was up and gave a phenomenal speech. But any of those games to go back, like if they had thrown on the Mike Milbury Bruins, whether he was as a player or when he was behind the bench, you know, just to be able to watch that hockey and to see those players, to see the game, to see the opponents on the other team. I can't take my eyes off any of that stuff, whether that's the National Hockey League. But if you're throwing on old baseball, if you're throwing on, you know, any of those old games, that's why, now I get it. When ESPN Classic first came on the air, I think it was addicting to a lot of people. And I think the leagues probably got the same feeling. So they took all that, is my guess, they took all that inventory in-house because they wanted to be able to control it and disseminate it the way they wanted to. But anytime you're throwing on any of those old teams, old games, I'm in.
I got some time for the Flyers Penguins 5 overtime game. I got some time for some of those Avalanche Devils series in the early 2000s. Even some of the Kings Blackhawks series not too long ago out in the Western Conference. I got time for a lot of that. But we have a call right now. And coming in right now, Ed from Whitman. Series to rewatch. You got two games you're thinking of?
Well, not two games, two series. Obviously, the Bruins at 11 just because it means something. But if I had to choose, the one I'd want to watch is... the Rangers Vancouver in 94. I just thought that was a terrific series, and with Messier and natural hat trick and all that. And yeah, I just thought it was a great series. I thought that would be a one you'd want to watch again.
Yeah, Bjorky's best shot to win the cup too.
I think any of those are great, but to go back and be able to have a chance to watch 2011, you know, to watch that series against the Vancouver Canucks, you know, the way it turned, obviously, you know, not just the way it ended, but what took place prior to that, the war of words between Tim Thomas and Roberto Luongo, the bad blood, and how much hatred, by the way, there was of that Vancouver team around the National Hockey League, not just in Boston, not just in a select city, but I think everybody felt like that was a team full of villains. And the Bruins, the way they disposed of the Canucks in 2011. That is certainly one that is worth going back to watch. But any of those seven-game series, to be able to watch that, the players involved, the way the game was played, I'm in.
Well, it looks like we got, this is drumming up some interest. We got a couple people looking to chime in as well. Guys, sit tight. We're going to take a break right now. And when we return, Ty Anderson is going to be joining us here during the, actually, you know what? We'll do one more call before we take a break. Zach is in Bridgewater. Serious to watch. What are you thinking of, Zach?
I forget what year it was, but I love going back and watching the Anaheim Ducks and Team Mussolini finally win a cup.
I can't argue with that.
So that was 07?
Yes. That was Brzgalov?
No.
Jaguar.
Yeah, that sorry. Was J.S. Jaguar who won that one. But, you know, you had the trade that took place that year when Chris Pronger was acquired, and you had Pronger and Niedermeyer on the ice. I mean, those guys were on the ice every single shift, at least one of them, and their ability to control the game was just incredible. And that team, without question, was the best team in the National Hockey League that year.
All right, well, we will take this break, and we will finish up here with the final half hour of the Hockey Show. Ty Anderson will be joining us. Don't go anywhere. You're tuning in on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub Hockey Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Shoe center fires, score!
The Hockey Show on your home of the Bruins, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Getting to the home stretch here on the Hockey Show. I'm Mike O'Brien here with Judd Sirott. I'm subbing in for Ryan Johnson this morning. As we talk coronavirus, we talk NHL hiatus, we talk potential playoff scenarios or playoff format scenarios for the NHL if and when they return. And joining us right now on the Volkswagen Expert Dealers, Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline is Ty Anderson. Ty, 98.5 The Sports Hub, you are embedded with the Boston Bruins day in, day out. And obviously, no practice, no games, no hockey for a little bit. How has this week gone for you? And what do you do with yourselves these days?
Well, it's never a good sign when by the second day you turn to your girlfriend and you say, "I'm bored." Well, that's not going to work. That's what I'm learning. So this is not ideal. It's weird. I mean, it's weird when society kind of tells you, "Okay, you guys are in timeout now." You respect it, obviously. This is better. Boredom is better than being holed up in quarantine because you're sick. But this is odd. I mean, this is really strange. The closest thing I can remember to this, at least in my time covering the team since 2010 now, is the Boston Marathon bombing. That put things on hold for about 5 days, but that was in Boston. You know, that was just here. That wasn't the whole league, the whole sports world. So this is totally new, and it's the unknown, really, in a lot of ways. And you're just approaching things day by day, reading all the news clippings and hoping that eventually you get back to normal here.
What did your girlfriend say in response, by the way, when you told her you were bored?
She said, "We have a whole apartment to clean. What are you talking about?" So I thought that was a pretty appropriate response there.
So you have chores now?
Yeah, we got to do it all now. Now I can't say, "Oh, I got a Bruins game. We got to do it tomorrow." You know, we can't do that now. So it's this is life now. This is...
You're begging for the restart.
I am, honestly. I mean, well, this is weird. I mean, I can't remember a time where I've been looking forward to the Bruins playoff run as much as I have this spring, given what this team did last year, given what they can do this year. Now that's just on hold. I mean, this is really bizarre. And again, you understand it, but I just feel like, you know, the revenge tour that we've been calling it all year, it seemed real. It seemed here. And now you sit here and you wonder, okay, is it going to come? And when it does, is the team going to be the same? Are they going to have that same rhythm that they've had that's made them one of the best teams in hockey, the best team in hockey, for that matter, all year long? It's a really difficult situation to sort of, I think, process if you're a Bruins fan, but also a fan of the game and momentum and what it means in the sport.
Well, I think you kind of maybe segue into this a little bit, Ty. Where do you fall on the glass half full view of, or at least this allows the Boston Bruins to get healthier, especially on the back line with the injuries to Krug and Carlo, versus the glass half empty view where this team was the best team in hockey, just took down the hottest team in the NHL, and really seemed to have a lot of momentum as they're going through the final stretch of the regular season?
Well, I'm curious what happens if and when they get back. If they get back and there are some regular season games here, I'll feel better about it. If they get back and the league says, we're going to go right to the playoffs or, you know, we're going to have a few exhibition games and here's the playoffs, that worries me a little bit because, you know, that we talk about resting players on this team. And Chara is a player, for example, who if he wants to rest, he wants to do it before the final few games of the season, if that makes any sense. He doesn't like resting and then going right to the playoffs. He doesn't feel like he has the same timing down. And you talk to players, that's a real thing for a few guys. So I want to see how this all shakes out. When they return, do they have games? Is the regular season still a thing when they do come back? So that's important to me. But I think if you're looking at the now, yeah, getting some rest for Bergeron, for Krejci, for Chara, I like that. On the flip side, getting rest for Pastrnak and for Tuukka Rask, I think that's a little different. You know, are those guys going to be what they are, a Hart Trophy favorite and a Vezina favorite? Are they going to be those guys when they come back? I mean, that's a hard thing to sort of try to project right now when you don't know how long these guys are going to be on the shelf.
Well, and to take that projection even further, so obviously the Bruins were smoking hot coming out of the All-Star break in the bye, but we're talking a longer break here and how that impacts everybody. And then what the ramp up is like, if they're able to restart, what's a safe number? What they've done in the past has been 9 or 10 days to be able to get certain of these guys in rhythm and playing the way that you want to and getting back to the identity. How fast can you get back to the identity that's made you the best team during the regular season?
Yeah, exactly. And that's sort of where I land on this whole, okay, if you get games back, what kind of games are they? You know, like, I really don't think that you're going to learn much if it's, okay, you come back and you have an inter-squad game, and like they did last year between the Eastern Conference Finals and the Stanley Cup, I think that almost hurt them more than anything else. And obviously it hurt Brad Marchand's hand. So that's that identity that you're talking about. Yeah, that's an 82-game process. That's sometimes a 10-game and 25-day process that you're going to try to condense to a week and a half. They won't be alone in that regard, yeah. But, I mean, I think that impacts a team like the Bruins and a team like the Rangers, for example, the Wild. I think it impacts those teams much more than does, say, a team that's been comfortably in the middle all season like Tampa Bay, who I think this will benefit them in the sense that they'll get Stamkos back. They could get their whole grouping back. So everyone's going to have to deal with it. But I think that when you're a team like the Bruins, who – rhythm and pace and structure is such a big part of what you do, and it's been a big part of your success, it's a little worrisome to me.
That's true. I start to think back to the beginning of the regular season, and certainly the team they're comprised differently now. You didn't have Nick Ritchie. You didn't have Andre Kasha. So it obviously looks a little bit different. But when they started the season, the Bruins came out like gangbusters, and they were fabulous during the early parts of the season. But there was a time where they were starting to win some games, not necessarily play their best hockey. And if we forecast all the way into the playoffs, you know, we certainly talk about health and what's the matchup. You have to get the bounces and the breaks. But I think what also has to be clear in there is that you have to be playing your best hockey as a team in order to win those playoff games.
Yeah, and I do wonder if this break would help Nick Ritchie. I think a lot has been made about how's his conditioning? What kind of shape is he in? I think that, you know, being on the sidelines for 4 weeks probably won't help his game shape, his conditioning. He can work on his own, yeah, but is that the same as playing in playoff-like atmosphere, playing in these playoff-like games down the stretch? Kasha, I think that this might hurt him too, because you see his first few games back and you liked what you saw, but I think there was a part of you that was saying, okay, he hasn't played in a while, you can kind of tell here. So maybe this finds them on level footing with the rest of the league. That's the half-full way of looking at it. The other part of it is these guys still need to find their home within this lineup. And how many games now do you get to do that? So, absolutely. They came out flying. And the other part of it, like you said, though, is that they weren't playing their best at a certain point. So when does that part of the game creep into them during the playoffs if they get there? You know, if that run is as deep as we all imagine it's going to be, does that happen in the second round, the third round, if they get there? And you don't have a lot of time to bounce out of that. So these moving pieces are just kind of incredible, really. And there's nothing you can do about it. The AHL is not going on, so what do you do?
Ty, do you have a sense? I know that the players and staff and organization around the NHL are in self-quarantine for, I believe it's the next 7 to 10 days. But do you have a sense of the level of contact between players, coaches, management during this, I guess, self-quarantine period, or once, at least once it expires?
I actually don't. That's an interesting sort of point. I honestly thought you were going to be part of that because you were part of the broadcast team, and I heard that's what happened with the Celtics as well. I really don't know anything about this process because I've never really experienced it before. But I imagine that once this is done, there may be some informal skates, some informal get-togethers at Warrior, if it's allowed. They do this before the season begins. They'll skate at Warrior together. They'll find some time and get together. So I assume they'll do something similar here. Maybe some of the guys from around the league who live in Boston, maybe they're home. I don't know. I mean, that's a part of it that I think is, you reach out to the players, or you try to, and right now it's a lot of, no, can't talk right now. Sorry, got to do this. So I'm not sure what this process is like for them, but I imagine that once it's over, there'll be some skating.
And it sounds like everyone is staying in town as well. No one trying to get back to Canada, and I'm sure no one trying to get back overseas. That would be a nightmare to get back, I imagine.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think you can try, especially with the travel ban right now for certain parts of Europe. You really can't afford to do that right now, and I wouldn't want to either. I mean, you'd be talking about exposing yourself potentially to actually catching this virus, and then now you're really at the hill here. So I like what the league has done to try to contain this. It may be a little too late based on what we've seen around the league, but this is the best thing they can do, I think, to ensure that they actually do have a season here down the stretch. And there's the fact, too, that Frank Cervelli from TSN reported that the buildings are seeking availability through July, which is encouraging, in my opinion. That means that they do want to try to make sure they have some semblance of a season. But I am curious what happens here in terms of contracts and what have you. I mean, July 1st typically free agency. What happens if you have games on July 2nd? I mean, what can you do there to sort of work around that? So a lot of balls in the air right now, but everyone being home, I think, allows you the best chance of getting it all done properly.
My guess is, Ty, that the National Hockey League, in conjunction with the NHL Players Association, is going to try. I think that there's an understanding that some of these dates – some of these previous deadlines will have to be fluid, and they're going to change certain things up. But, obviously there's been a lot of talk about, okay, what happens now with the draft? What happens, as you mentioned, with July 1st on free agency? What happens to how the teams and the players now negotiate, or negotiate through their agents in order to get things done? So I'm sure that they're working on some of that stuff here in the interim. As they play out some of these scenarios, and obviously all of this is changing based on the information that they're getting for various health organizations and governments.
Yeah, and this is truly in wild times. I mean, I'm curious what happens after this too. Like, what the season, if it does extend into July, let's just say July, you really can't start in September 8th or whatever it's been in the years past, right? That's just impossible, I think, given the amount of cramming that you'd have to do. But so what do? You get rid of bye weeks for a year? You get rid of the All-Star game for a year? I think some of those things are already set in stone, so you really can't do that. So you understand, I guess, why that, they like to get back as soon as possible, but you understand also at the same time why it's not feasible. It's not plausible. So, it has to be a fluid situation, and I thought Bettman had an interesting comment talking about the NHLPA. He says, they're the first guys I say hi to in the morning and the last guys I say, goodnight to at the end of the night. So clearly they're trying to work around something here and figure out the best return date and these other dates, these key dates that we're mentioning to figure this all out.
Ty, I'm going to make you commissioner for the next couple minutes here, and you're in control of how the playoffs look. Once this hiatus comes to an end for the NHL, what do you think is the best way to go about it?
In terms of the actual playoffs themselves, or because I'm not a big, I don't like this format. I think this format, I've been pretty vocal about that for a long time. But in terms of maybe building the format here,
Who's in and change the format? You're the commissioner. You can do whatever you want now, Ty.
Yeah, well, with this year in particular, I mean, listen, I want to go back to the 1-8 in the worst way. I just think it makes the most sense. You're not having 1-2 play in the second round like you have in years past now. It's happened routinely. So I would love to go back to 1-8, but in terms of if you can't get schedules in that are, you know, let's say a full 72 or 75 for all the teams involved, you sort of by a point percentage. If you have any ties, you do a play-in game. That makes the most sense. Maybe if you're the Rangers, for example, a team is on the bubble and you want to get in, maybe you play the team that's in the number two wild card right now, but you have a best of three. But if they win one, you're done. You know, maybe you have to win the first game to force, you know, a series, so to speak. So that's just one idea that I kind of had percolating through my mind. Because I don't think that you're going to get a full 82 here. I just don't see how it happens. If we're looking at the NBA model, which is a month away from returning. So that's one thing I thought of. Maybe, you know, again, if you don't want to punish these teams who've been making these midseason pushes, you have to beat them twice now, and they only have to beat you once, you know, in terms of, you know, upsetting a playoff team right now. So that's probably what I would do. But again, point percentage, 1-8, I think in each conference is the best way to do it.
Then the other thing to think about, Ty, is not just, okay, if you maybe, you know, dream up a play-in game in both conferences, but what about seeding? You know, if, let's say you go, all right, 1-8, 1-10. You know, if I'm the Philadelphia Flyers and the Washington Capitals, although they've played the same number of games, but if you look in the West, there are some teams like the Edmonton Oilers have played 71 games, 83 points. The Dallas Stars, now this is based on a full conference format, not on the current divisional format that we have plus those wildcard teams, but the Dallas Stars are 1 point behind them with two games in hand. So how do you now start to figure out seeding, you know, and who gets home ice? Because, you know, we're talking about not just who potentially has an advantage, but we're also talking about revenue.
Oh, absolutely. And this is where the ice cream headache gets real for all of us. And I think, I mean, it you can't make everyone happy, right? And I think that's going to be the problem here, is that someone's going to be pissed. And how do you work around it? How does it make the most sense? I just come back to that point percentage and head-to-head. And then if a team, you know, if a team loses out on the third tiebreaker, let's just say, hey, so be it. It's better than not having a season at all. You know, and that's the way that you can sort of appease these teams. It won't work. We all know it won't work. But maybe that's the, hey, here's the option. If you don't like it, go home. I guess that's the alternative. So, that's the hard part. And that's why I think that this format is, you know, another reason that we're highlighting things that don't work right now through this. And maybe this will highlight this format as needing to change because of where we are right now.
No, I think that's a good point. I'm not in love with the format. I'm not in love with the way that they do the schedule in particular. If they're going to play this format, they're asking you to play out of your division, but you only play four games against them. To me, that's not
exactly
enough. You know, and if you want to really incent the rivalries, play more games against your division. You know, that maybe down the road, depending on what they choose to do with the format, that maybe it will have a positive impact in the way that the Stanley Cup playoffs are conducted years from now.
Yeah, exactly. I think that any tragedy, anything, you know, that uproots or shakes up your whole life happens, you always ask yourself, what can we do to make sure this never happens again? With something like this, you really can't. But I think that you can look at some of the problems that you're facing right now, things we're talking about in terms of the playoff structure, and you're saying, okay, well, maybe we can improve this or improve the divisional play. I agree with you 100%, by the way, on that whole. If you want to go through your division, make the division matter. I mean, you play the Bruins have been done with some of these season series now for months or at least, and that's just not right. If you want to say the division is important, make the division important, because it's not important right now. And so I would say that's a bang on point, honestly. And maybe, again, this is a very small detail in all of this, but maybe this does spark some change that I think the playoff format could use. I think this playoff format needs more clarity than it needs more play-in and more, you know, math equations, so to speak. But I think ultimately you want to make sure you're rewarding these teams for accomplishing these goals that you said were important. You know, you can't speak up both sides of your mouth here for the league. So this could be a nice change.
Well, Commissioner Anderson, it's all good stuff. Thanks for the time. Good luck with the chores, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Awesome. Sounds good, guys. Thanks for having me.
See you, Ty.
That was Ty Anderson, and that's going to do it here for this edition of The Hockey Show. Ryan Johnson should be back in the number one seat next weekend. I'd like to thank Judd Strauss joining us once again. I'm Mike O'Brien, Christian Arcan, and Jim Murray up next.
The Sports Hub Hockey Show with Ryan Johnston, Judd Zerai, Bob Beers, the home of the Bees, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.